The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Welcome back inside the MDN studio, Sports Talk 1050, WTK, The Ticket online at WTK.com. Say we'll be back in just a second, but I have this moment just to kind of think back on this morning so far, to be honest, because the Monday of Michigan State week, beat Sparty week, open things up, obviously recapping the game from Saturday, Michigan's win over Northwestern, and very quickly move past that one. A great morning this Monday morning with Devin Gardner, who's here for an hour, Scott Bell, who's here as well. But, you know, something about this week just gets it going. And Sam, I didn't ask, and I'm assuming we'll find more about this. Someone will ask this question at the press conference today when Michigan football meets with the media. Do they even get to the locker room by the time they had turned the page to Michigan State? Were they still, like, on the field, walk after the victors, walk into the locker room? Or did they go to the locker room, sing the victory, do something as a team real quickly? Then, like, I'm assuming that it was walking back up the tunnel, beat Michigan State, was already on the mind. Like, I assume that most of the time you get, like, what, a day or the night to just kind of enjoy it. I don't think they took the night to enjoy it. I have a feeling they turned the page pretty quickly.
Yeah, man, I just...
I know I did.
I think that Scott Bell gets with this. I mean, at least he has fun with it the way that I do.
We know he gets
and
it.
And I don't think that everyone needs to, has to, or should have fun like I do. I just think those that are critical of the way that we have fun with it are overestimating their impact on the game. Like, I thought Devin summed it up. I mean, that's from a player's perspective that Devin gave it to you. It's like, I mean, you say what you want. You don't have any impact on the game. Zero. Fans don't impact the game, at least fans who aren't at the game.
Correct. The only impact fans have on a game is noise.
Like, so what are you risking? You aren't risking the team's ability to win. You're risking the grief that you will take if they lose. If your team loses, which is, some people don't want to put that up, and you know, they don't want to deal with the repercussions. If they talk and people come back and say, yo, you got to eat crow, that's fine. But then don't be a cherry picker. Devin said front runner. Don't be a front runner. Don't be that fan. Don't be that fan that is like, hey, we're going to respect the opponent. We aren't going to, I don't think this disrespect, I think it's gamesmanship from a fan perspective anyway, but we aren't going to talk bad or disrespect them before the game. Don't be that way before the game and then be different after the game. Why would you take so seriously the respect that you have for them before the game and then just throw that all out the window after you win? Now you want to disrespect them? Why? Just be consistent. You want to talk about how bootleg their program is compared to the real ones in the country? That's fine. That's fine.
Speak on it, Becky.
Just saying. Hey, you know, there are worse things than being a minor league for major programs, right? You could be, you know, what Michigan State used to be. And that was a place where coaches come and you never hear from them again. It happened to John L. Smith. Where is Bobby Williams, right?
He's an assistant somewhere.
But he's not a head coach anymore.
No, he hasn't been a head coach since. I think John L. was an interim coach somewhere briefly after because someone else got fired and he was on their staff.
It's like, hey, these guys. I mean, Daryl Rogers, but he went to coach the Lions. I mean, that's not like a big deal, is it? Coaching the Lions in the grand scheme of things.
Probably a step down. There I am saying nice things about Michigan State.
Right, but hey, man, this Michigan State, to give them their respect. Hey, Mel Tucker has done a better than expected job with so many transfers. I mean, to be able to put all of those guys who come in with expectations. We go into full Sparty Sab mode tomorrow. I mean, we get it started. We start getting it cracking.
See, I think tomorrow should be like, you know, so today is like 10%. Tomorrow should be like 30%. Because I said this on Saturday. It was funny because I was talking at the postgame show at Jim Brady's and I was talking to some friends after. Sam Webb this week is like someone for a night game that starts their first shot at 6 in the morning. You've got to pace yourself all week, Sam. You had a long weekend, a lot of travel. A little bit of a headache in there at the end, especially.
Yeah,
so
man.
We need you to pace yourself, because when you get to the end of the week, we need full bore Sam Webb.
Don't worry.
So it's a ramping. It's kind of like when you've talked to like your running coaches, et cetera, right? You ramp up so that you're peaking at the right time. So 10% today, 25% tomorrow, and ramp it up. And the fans will really appreciate the 100% Sam Webb on Saturday.
Yes, they will. And just to give them their due, look, he has assembled a team that has been hugely influenced by transfers in great numbers. And so the idea that you can take that many guys with expectations coming in the door and mesh and meld them into a team, and not just a decent team, a team that's undefeated at this point when they were a last place team last year, is impressive. That's impressive. So, and you look at some of their breakout guys. I mean, Reed and Naylor, no exaggeration. I mean, that's an advantage for them. So pressure is the key defensively. In this game to mitigate the advantage they have on paper. And that's not rendering Michigan incapable on the outside. I think Devin made a great point that they make quarterbacks have to find the open guy. But if you get mano a mano, if you get in a mano a mano situation, and it's not Dax, I mean, on paper, you say that's an advantage for them. So can they get to that point? And if there is an opening, can you find it in time? Not just can you find them, can you find them in time with this pass rush that, you know, I thought about Chris Hutchinson again over the weekend when Chris said a couple of years ago, Aiden he's looking both alike. Right? And you remember all the Buckeyes, just they couldn't help themselves. I mean, it's crazy how many Buckeyes and Spartans listen, pay attention to what we say or what is said on this show or on TMI. And they were chomping at the bit for that one. And watching him Saturday, it's like, man, they can't block this dude. I mean, power, speed, technique, he's putting it all on display. And you feel him in every game. I mean, that's the key. It's not just, you know, he flashes here for a couple of sacks and then you don't hear from him in the next game. You feel Aiden Hutchinson in every game. So you know he's going to be a guy who they have to account for on every play. Can he still apply heat to the quarterback in those plays, especially on those plays where they are going out of their way to try to slow him down? Can the other guy show up in the way that they have up to this point this year? Saw Mike Morris meet him at the quarterback in the last game, right? We've talked a lot about Dave Ajabo. Been really, really impressed with the emergence. You asked me what was my grade for the defensive line. I gave him an A, did I not? And granted, part of that is based on the expectation. I had more question marks about the defensive line heading into the season than I did corner. And the questions were significant about corner, right? But, you know, you wondered about the size. You wondered about how guys would hold up against the run. Set the pass rush part of it to the side, right? How would they hold up against the run? They've done that splendidly. And not only have they done that splendidly with the two starting guys, they have a rotation inside too. I think the guys up front, especially if they can get pressure with four. You know, I think that is the key to the game, because I think those matchups on the outside are what they are. I mean, you got to try to mitigate that as much as possible. And I think you do that with, hopefully, with the pressure in this game. Time will tell. Now, on the flip side of it, can they get it? I think that's probably what they do better. I think I don't have the numbers in front of me, just watching some of their games. It's like, okay, they got a couple guys that can get to the quarterback, but I think that our you know, as we look at our recaps over the last few games, I think our recaps would show that Michigan's offensive line should have an advantage, should have an advantage here, pushing them around, and they don't surrender much pressure unless, you know, unless there's a missed blitz pickup here or there. But there are few busts, far fewer busts this year, and you just aren't overpowering these guys. I mean, so I guess the biggest question mark for them would be health. What's Trevor Keegan's health? What's how is Zach Zinner? You know, another week of recovery in the mix. You know, how are they for this game? And if you have to, fortunately for them, Michigan has played now Chuck Filiaga and Carson Barnhart a good deal. So you feel secure with those two guys in the game, but obviously you feel better with your starters if they're available, and Zach Zinner being your best guy. Want your best guy for this game. I got to believe Zach Zinner is going to be ready to go in this contest.
When you listen to Devin talk about the Michigan State game, right, and how, I mean, he's coughing up blood or has got the next year, was it the next year, right? He's got the foot in the huge shoe because he's in an ankle brace, and he's like, I'm still playing the game, right? You don't get that reaction leading up to, say, Northwestern, but you are going to get that all. And so if a guy is borderline, you know he's going to fight to play, and he'll play if he's able to go. There are going to be guys that are going to fight to play. If there's anyone that can't really go, they'll probably still fight to play, and the doctor is going to have to hold them back, right? Like, it's just, that's the kind of scenario you're in for this kind of week. Maybe not Indiana next week, but this week, yeah. Guys could be like, I'm out for the year. Nah, can I play? Can I find a way to play?
Yeah, I heard what Devin said about he feels like they fired Michigan State up more. And I guess in the years Devin played, maybe that could be the case, because Michigan State had a sustained run of success and Michigan just wasn't very good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you know, Mark had a bag of chips on his shoulder before the game
said
something like, you know.
Did you just call a man Mark?
I did, yeah. You know, we like to do that sometimes. So it's, you can get him some something for his indigestion, and
yes,
we'll make fun of him a little bit more. He always had something to get him riled up. So while what Cam Gordon might have done, what Devin said, it might have fired up a little more. I don't think that it took that. I'm pretty sure that it's just, you know, their coach. That was his game to get. I mean, he just probably just, you know, took a Wolverine in the locker room and swung it around, and the guys went all crazy or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't take much to rile the players up in this game on either side.
It doesn't, but they were in a position.
They were the better team those couple years.
Exactly. They were in a position that they hadn't typically been in our lifetimes, but certainly from Rich Rodriguez on through that point, they were running the rivalry. Michigan, and not only were they running the rivalry, Michigan just wasn't very good the majority of those years. So Michigan was not just the underdog, but they were like the decided underdog. And so it's like, you know, Michigan, they would be able to steamroll. So maybe in those years, those years that are anomalies historically, maybe in those years you could potentially, possibly, maybe have Michigan State overlooking Michigan a little, but that is hardly ever the case, right? And certainly not going to be the case. There's nothing that Michigan can say at this point that's going to get Michigan State more fired up for this game, in my opinion. Not that you're going to hear any of the players offer any bulletin board material, but I don't think that it would do anything to fire them up any more than they already are for this contest. And there's certainly nothing any fan could say that would do that. So this one, if you can mic the players up for the game, Michigan fans would blush. Trust me. Trust me. I've heard,
Sam, you could only mic this game up if it was on HBO.
I've heard some of the stories about what guys say to one another in this game, and it's not fit for radio. So, it's not even R-rated.
That's what I'm saying. HBO is the only place that could air a Michigan State game without censorship.
So I'm looking forward to it. We start getting it cracking tomorrow. Ira wants to wrap it up, so you know that's how we'll do it. We'll do it in a stepwise fashion. Of course, Townie Top 3 have Rich ready in. I'm sure he'll have his little bit of a few shots at Sparty as well. We will get to EA, Eric Adelson, get his take on things and the breakdown. We, of course, I think we have Kim Barnes-Arico tomorrow. We got Kim coming on. We start our Tuesdays with Kim.
I'm confirming that now, Sam.
KBA days with Kim. Of course, the recruiting roundups that we, and then an ample dose as we start to go full-fledged Michigan, Michigan State. Don't you just love it? How could you not love this week? I like it more when Michigan State is super confident. I don't like the games where they sort of lay in the weeds and then wait and hope that they win and so they can do all the smack talking after the fact. I like when they're confident heading into the game. And they're chirping and they're talking heading into the game. That makes it more fun to me. So I don't know what party should we get. Should we just go across the hall? We can just go across the hall.
Could just bring Madison in, bring Anthony in. We do have parties in the building. We could just bring them in.
Anthony is kind of...
He's walking around with Green this morning. He's lucky I didn't throw him out of the building.
He's a little timid with it. Madison's not timid.
That's true. I get that, yeah.
She's not timid with it. No place for the timid, for the meek and meager this week. You got to come strong with your takes this week, which we will do. All right, folks, so we are going to be doing that all week long, getting more into it tomorrow. Hopefully you'll join us here. If you missed any part, and I forgot to mention, Jack Miller. Jack Miller.
Tomorrow, 7:05, Between the Lines.
Between the Lines. We do a little more film breakdown, and then we, of course, get into Michigan, Michigan State. So tune in for all of that and more here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports, Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.